Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To you, my beloved listeners, wherever you may be, shukr alhamdulillah. We are blessed with another Saturday, shukr alhamdulillah. How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to educate, empower, motivate, and inspire ourselves so that we can create an impact and a legacy amongst the youth, inshallah? Interesting. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So now, my beloved listeners, this is a topic that I wanted to do for a long time. And then we thought, let's give it a few months in the year and let's look at it. Because this is something that many questions are going around about this topic. Also, parents are asking, teachers are asking, teachers in who are on site that are teaching are looking at this option. And it's a growing trend around the world. Nothing new, nothing that you have not heard about, but these are the questions that we will be discussing today, hopefully answering your questions. If you have any questions, please remember to WhatsApp us, inshallah, you can call us as well. And our topic for today, the growing popularity of online learning. Now, there are various reasons where parents decide this is the option I want to go, this is the route I want to go. When they are older students, they could probably go to their parents and say, I think I would like to leave an on-site school and consider furthering my studies through an online site. So this is here to stay. This is technology. This just shows how at a click of a button, here's another option when it comes to schooling. So for all of these questions that you may have and all of these reservations that you may have and all of the negativity that you may have heard or you perceive, inshallah, the intention for today's show is hopefully at the end of today's show, you are able to have a better view of what online learning is. If you feel this is the option that is best for your child, maybe, hopefully, inshallah, we're hoping with today's show, we can answer all these questions. If you feel no, on-site is much better for me, alhamdulillah as well. Remember, learning is from the cradle to the grave, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for us as parents, for us as former educators, for us as educators, for us as adults, so we are able to educate, empower, motivate, and inspire our youth. Right now, more than ever, in the time that we are living in right now, that we are seeing, we need to make educated decisions with regards to the upbringing of our children. Our children need to be taught important lessons and skills when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to being analytical, when it comes to understanding why the world is how it is and how they can grow up to create positive change in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly will be pleased with, inshallah. Ameen. Allahumma ameen ya rabbal alameen. So today, my beloved listeners, there are going to be two lahirs on air today. Me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and my guest brother, Wasi Muhammad Lahir, who is the principal at Qurtuba Online Academy. But today he's talking to us as a father, as a former educator, and somebody who is very clued up when it comes to online learning and teaching. So remember, he, inshallah, is going to give us the perspective from all these different areas and answer the questions that you may be having. And hopefully, inshallah, towards the end of the show, like I explained, people have a better understanding, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Wasim, and how are you today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Aisha, and to our listeners of Radio Islam. I'm very well, and how are you doing?
Shukr alhamdulillah. When it comes to education, you know, it's always something I'm very passionate about. And the very, very, very first question I have to ask you, this is something from one of our listeners, a very young listener. He's like, Appa Bibi Aisha, please don't say my name on air. I just want to know, with online learning, do we get holidays?
With the quality of life they have, and I'm saying this as a father with my own kids doing online learning, it feels almost every day is like a holiday. This morning, my daughter came and woke me up from the bed, and she told me, Abba, doesn't today feel like a holiday? And every day feels like a holiday. So, yeah, look, alhamdulillah, they do get their school holidays, and it's just, there's no traveling in the morning, there's no waking up early in school uniform and all that story. Comes with its pros and cons, but yes, they do get holidays.
Okay, now to my beloved listener, my little listener, you know that we've answered this question for you. But now this should not only be the only criteria where you would think, I'm going to do online learning because I have lots of holidays. There's lots more we need to discuss. So before we get to, okay, there's lots of holidays, inshallah, we're going to be discussing online learning. So we do know that online learning is a fast, I can't even say growing trend because it's already there, but it's a trend that is globally and locally recognized. And can you tell us more why this is so? Because this is something that we've known about for a long time, and it's just expanding and growing so fast. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Please go ahead.
So Bismillah, and with the name of Allah, and yes, Bibaisha, you're right. I think it's gone past the stage of a growing trend. And Aisha, you know, a lot of people will say that many sectors and industries in the world accelerated in certain regards due to the COVID pandemic. So online learning was there prior to the pandemic. It just wasn't exposed to a lot of people. And because of the pandemic and the work from home and the lockdowns and all these various restrictions, it accelerated the adoption of online learning. So much so that even the on-site schools, they endeavored to offer some form of online learning. But with that, I think the exposure that it got is that this is a viable means of education for our children. I think that's where it became a growing trend. Because if it was not viable and learners were not benefiting, they were not getting an educational development, if that was not there, then naturally it would not have taken off. Like certain other industries that flourished, we'll remember the PPEs, you know, the guys who were selling the masks and everything else. It flourished very well, but it was not sustainable in the long term. Whereas here, this was something that was sustainable, and not only sustainable, it's growing because more and more people are becoming aware that this is a very viable and at times even a superior way of a child to learn in a schooling setting. So I think the COVID pandemic played a large part, and as people are talking about it through word of mouth, the best form of marketing, and that's where it's growing both locally and internationally.
I have another question from one of our listeners who's actually asking that when it comes to online learning, because it's online, it doesn't matter where you are around the world. If there's a particular institution that's offering online learning wherever, in a totally different continent, it doesn't make a difference. I think the only thing that you would have to bear in mind there would probably be the time difference. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, it is with the time difference. And I think one of the features, from the many features of online learning, is that it allows you accessibility and flexibility. So the flexibility, you can travel anywhere. And depending on how you approach online learning, especially if you're a self-paced learner, we don't generally encourage it for your mainstream child. But for those children who are very responsible, parents are traveling, they're always in control of what their children are learning. For that kind of setting, it's a niche market. So even if you're in a different time zone, you access the content on your own, you learn it on your own, then you just log in for your support sessions. So these are the models adopted worldwide by online institutes. So the flexibility and the accessibility truly is one of the gems of online learning.
Now, based on what you just said right now, when you said the flexibility, so purely for my education, right? I'm asking you this right now, and also for our listeners. So if it's flexible, meaning there aren't sort of like a set school hours, am I correct? So it's not like from, say, 8 o'clock in the morning till, say, about 2 o'clock, that's going to be sort of your online school? Please correct me.
Yeah, well, actually, you do. So you get from the very rigid, much like a school timetable. You start at 8 o'clock, you have your half an hour period or 40 minutes, depending on where you register. You have your set days. So you start at 8 and you finish at a set time, depending whatever time it is, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever. So that you have that rigid. And then you've got the super flexible on the other extreme where you can learn anytime. You access your content anyway, but that does not have the benefit of a live teacher because that's of the time zone story. So if you want the benefit of a live teacher in the class, that's in the set timetable. And then you get the in-between models as well, where you learn on your own and they have these classes. And then you have the one where you learn completely on your own. So it's all these different options, and that's one of the core things of online learning.
Now, knowing all of this, there are still many parents and students and teachers who are still skeptical about this concept, especially with the regard, you know, to the perceived absence of socializing. Again, you're gonna clarify for this. You know, there's no extracurricular activities, there's no extra murals. Can you please tell us more?
So this is a bit of a tricky one. And I think even us as what we would like to consider as educational leaders in the online learning space, We find that we'd like to say that online learning is for everybody, but at the same time, it depends on the very personal situation of every home and every family. And there is this perceived understanding that there is a lack of social connection. And I always mention that when it comes to social connection, there's two things. One is social development. In other words, does your child have the ability to interact in social settings? Are they confident enough to speak when they meet people? If there's somebody new, do they look down or are they able to make eye contact? Are they able to greet? Are they able to articulate themselves loudly and clearly? So that's called social ability. That's the ability to socialize. The second and very different concept is social connection. That is having friends, that is having a community to play with and engage. And as we know, you can have a community that's excellent. It's a brilliant community where your child feels, these are my friends, these are my buddies, much like us. We remember some of our school friends from the time we in primary school. So if you have that social connection, then that definitely, separate thing from social ability, but that is social connection. Now, tying this with online learning. In online learning, what we've noticed in our experience and seeing this with, and liaising with other online learning leaders is that the social development definitely takes place. Learners develop the skills on how to articulate and how to speak. Generally, you don't find them to be awkward in social settings. And the reason for that is it depends on their home environment and the abilities that they pick up from their parents, from their siblings, where the home environment is not as ideal as it should be. That's where we find now the child then develops very awkward kind of personality where they are more shy than they should be. Yes, you get your introverts and your extroverts. Of course, there's limits to those. If they're too shy, too reserved, then there's definitely something in the home environment. And even then, you do have children who find a safe space in schools, in on-site schools. So for them, perhaps going out would be an ideal. And then the second one, social connection in online learning, it is there, much like how we connect with people via Instagram or WhatsApp or anywhere else, and we maintain very good relationships with people in that manner. But again, it's not the same as meeting someone in person, kicking a ball on the field with your friends and rustling and tussling around, or with girls sitting and discussing, you know, the body language, all the cues of the non-verbal. So you don't get that in an online learning. But everything else, the social development definitely takes place.
Now, the extracurricular activities and extramurals would obviously now be, you know, the responsibility of the parents based obviously on their children's interests and hobbies. So that would be something that now can be organized later in the day or on a weekend or however that timetable is set. I'm assuming that would be now will fall on the responsibility of the parents, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And many online institutions offer some form of extramural activities. And I personally strongly encourage to look in your particular area where you're staying and to get involved in certain things. One of the silent benefits of online learning is because a lot of time is freed up. Where in an on-site setting, a child is to wake up. But you look at us, for example, who are working class, you have to wake up, you get done, you travel. And when you knock off from work, the time takes you to come home to travel and decompress. If you add all of that time together, it's a lot of time that goes out in this seemingly mundane activity. Now, similarly with children who travel to school or who walk to school in the morning, they must pack their bags, eat their breakfast, get ready. A lot of time goes out in that. And when we evaluate, you can free up an hour to 2 hours of a child's life that can be used more productively elsewhere. So to set up activities, they go for their local karate classes, swimming, whatever is in their passion, we strongly encourage to go for it. To spend it in time of an alim in the area, you know, things like that, for the spiritual development of children. But it frees up a lot of time, and that's why we say this contributes to a higher quality of life. So, yeah, you can arrange it on your own, and sometimes look at the institute you're at, and you can see what kind of extramurals they offer.
Now, I must mention this is actually a message that I received from one of our listeners as well, whose two children are, you know, enrolled at an online learning facility. And this parent actually says, during the time of COVID, rightly so, your guest, Bibi Aisha, mentioned it, that my son used to watch me working online. And, you know, there were lots of times where I used to battle with all these different apps like Zoom and Teams. And my son, who was generally a very reserved child, very, very introverted, became so confident that he would set up meetings for me. Wow, that's amazing. And he says, I learned so much of technology through my child. And my child actually, when his school, he was in an on-site school, they used to have online facilities. And that's when the child actually said that, I think I learn much better if I'm not on site. And she said, based on that, she's seen the child's confidence, and the child is just really, really, really progressing well. The other thing that, you know, one of the listeners said as well is the saving time. You say saving petrol. You know, petrol is very, very, very expensive. And she says that, you know, we have a better relationship right now because every morning used to be a battle. Please get up. Please eat your breakfast. Please do this. And then she said, I hated going to work, you know, all angry and frustrated because my child was unhappy. My child was unhappy coming out of the car, going to school. And we don't have that anymore. It's like we both sort of have our offices and we both sort of clocking in and doing our work. So alhamdulillah, it's worked wonders for my child. And she says, I felt that I've benefited so much from my child teaching me to be tech savvy. I mean, it's amazing. That is amazing. You know, I'm always seeing, you know, as a father yourself, right? You must be in awe when you notice how children are really, really good when it comes to technology, when it comes to being tech savvy. And, you know, you sometimes you'd look and you'd wonder, like, you struggling with a particular app or whatever for work meetings, and your child just goes one click, this, 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 and you're like, wow, how did you do this? So when it comes to building self-confidence as well, I mean, let's be honest, this is the way to go with regards to life right now. Everything's online. So I want to ask you, what would a typical day be like in an online classroom? I know, you know, there's another example here. There would be the one where, as you explained, there's the flexi hours. And then there would be one, as you mentioned earlier, at different online institutions where there would be sort of a set timetable. Can you sort of please explain both of them and what would a typical day be like?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I should remark on the, you know, the development of children. Really, it's scary. And myself, personally, I'd like to consider myself as reasonably tech-savvy. I know my technology very well, ecosystems, Internet of Things. So those who understand these terms will know that I have a reasonable level. And obviously, being involved in what we call tech, that's the sector we work in. But when I look at my kids, for example, and many other parents, I mean, you yourself know the little ones. I'm thinking to myself, my son was telling me, for example, he developed a code called Scratch. It's a very simple application, but he did it in one day. And at his age, and I thought to myself, the first time I worked on coding was when I was in my early 20s and HTML. And it took me almost a month to learn it, which was simpler than what they are learning now. And I thought, wow. These kids really, they're on a different level. But there's a lot of reasons for that. And coming to the question, what does a typical day look like? And I think I'll vocalize here what would be typical for a mainstream learner, what is most appealing to, especially someone coming from an on-site school. Your child has been there for many years. So what can you expect and what do you think would be the easiest transition for online learning? And what we personally advise. The same thing I've done for my own kids. So a typical day in as a father, look like daddy, I'm one of those very bad daddies. I don't do much because, well, we leave for work early. But my wife will tell you, they wake them up in the morning for Fajr Salah. And after Fajr Salah, they read a bit of Quran, they learn their hifz and things like that. Then they get a time to just unwind, spend time, play around with mommy and everything else. Then they have breakfast together. After breakfast, they do a physical fitness session. So they put up one of these YouTube things where they exercise together. I think that's for about 20 minutes. Then they have a session where they join in and there's like a Yasin that they read and a Zikr that they read and all the du'as for the day. Then they start classes.
So that's part of the curriculum where there's the Yasin and the du'as.
Yes, that's part of the curriculum.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
And then they start at 8 o'clock their classes. It's for half an hour periods. They have a break in between, just like a school timetable. Then the classes continue and they knock off at about 12 o'clock. 12, half past 12, somewhere around there. And then on most days, they have a PE session for half an hour. So there's some physical activity there. And then after that, it depends. So myself as a parent, I've chosen to send my children to the Maktab Madrasa and to the hifz. So they gainfully occupied and they're developing meaningful time. And it's very close to home. So they're learning their hifz in the environment of a madrasa with their friends. That's where the social connection comes in. It's a good environment. The ustad is fantastic. that kind of
now,
thing.
I need to ask you something. So say there's a child, say for example, now, again, like I said, this is purely for my education as well. So you could have a child, say, that's in foundation phase, and you've got a child in intermediate, you have a child that's in high school. Would the hours be different as compared to an on-site school?
Yeah, the hours would be different depending on which curriculum you take, and many providers offer various curricula. You can take the South African curriculum, the British, you can take the Waldorf, the American curricula, depending on which one you want. And each one has different implications if you want to study at a university in South Africa or abroad. So that is one factor. And then, again, I'll just speak about the formal timetable. In the lower grades, most of the institutes you should follow, you should finish at the same time. And I'm saying lower grades is grade 9 downwards. When it goes to 10 upwards, because of subject choices, and the day gets much longer. So they also, anywhere between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon is where the day goes, depending on how many subjects you take and which subjects. But more or less, between 12 and 2 o'clock is when most schools will end.
So when you're saying there's various, it's an excellent point that you brought up just now, because this is going to be my next question. What curriculum is adopted? Because, I mean, like you said, there's a variety of different curriculums that parents can also choose from based on their child's interest. Like you say, later when the child wants to maybe study abroad or has a particular interest that one day when he or she is qualified in a particular field, he or she would want to work overseas. So that also allows for great flexibility for parents as well as for their children, which is amazing. So you're not just restricted to a particular curriculum. The other question I was going to ask you, so say for whatever reason, now you have, say the child is ill or something has come up, right? And then when the child needs to play catch up, again, like I remember you mentioned earlier, it's flexible. So how do you play catch up in the sense that you're catching up with the work that you've missed out on? So do you work at your own pace or you're following a timetable?
So this is where one of the areas where online learning will exceed and is superior to on-site learning, in a sense that if a child misses something, and you often have children who are traveling, it is now Ramadan, they went for Umrah, and they could not attend classes. So the access that they have is, most institutes would have this year, they'll have one of two things, if not both. So one is they can go onto the portal and they can learn their work on their own. I did that. I went for holiday in term one. My kids came with me. They were doing school on their own while we were on holiday, going to do their stuff. The second is the actual recordings of the classes are made available to the learners. So they can access the recordings at their own time and they can play catch up. Unlike on an on-site school, if you miss the class, you miss the class. The teacher will just give you the notes when you come back. If it's a good teacher, they might even take out time to half an hour to an hour to explain to you what it was. Although it's very rare. But that's the best that could take place. Here you will have access to the full classes itself. You can view the recordings of the classes, access the content on your own, liaise with your teacher, and catch up whatever you need to catch up.
Amazing. Alhamdulillah. You know, I have so many more questions that I need to ask you, inshallah. My beloved listeners, please keep your feedback coming. You know, we're enjoying it. You know, alhamdulillah, whatever questions you have, now is your opportunity to ask them. Inshallah, we will be returning after the ad break. Please don't go away. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To you, my beloved listeners, I am inundated with messages and positive comments about online learning. I have a lot of questions from you. Young listeners, alhamdulillah, I'm so happy that you're engaging with me, alhamdulillah. It's good to know what our youth are thinking about and what are they considering, because ultimately, you know, it's their education. They are taking responsibility for their education, which is rightly so, alhamdulillah. So we're talking about the growing popularity of online learning today with Brother Wasim Muhammad Lehe, and he's the principal at the Kurtaba Online Academy, and that's just one of the different online schools available around South Africa, and I could say around the world, because now when it comes to online learning, as you know, there are various different curriculum that, you know, children can decide that they would like to learn from, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world. But we need to understand that this is also an option, because this is a teaching option that, well, a teaching and learning option that is growing rapidly for various reasons. So, you know, before I go back to Wasim, I just would like to remind our listeners that the purpose of Youth Talk, obviously, is to educate, empower, motivate, and inspire it out, whether you are a parent or not, on what is going on in the world today with regards to the upbringing of our youth, with regards to educating our youth and empowering them so that they can grow up into be productive human beings who are able to make decisions, who are able to change the world in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with. And bearing all of this in mind, also being able to articulate, being able to use the talents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to inshallah impact others. And when it comes to choosing schools for children, it's not as easy as it used to be in the past. We know there's a lot of growing fears and apprehension amongst parents with regards to curriculum changes in our country. Also, when it comes to a lot of the social evils with regards to bullying, with regards to peer pressure, when it comes to drug addiction, when it comes to a whole lot of things that our youth seem to be so much more comfortable doing these days compared to when we were growing up, so to speak. So we see that's another big, big question that comes about where, there were parents that I've spoken to who say that, I feel I have better control of my child because I know my child is literally under my nose. My child is engaged in teaching. My child is in a home environment. My child is not part of a gang anymore. There's a lot of discipline. So there's a lot of different reasons where parents opt for online learning. And in certain cases, there are children who opt for that. So in your experience, again, as a parent, as an educator, and being in this environment, have parents come and said that to you? Because that is a lot what parents are also thinking, that my child is literally under my nose. I know where he is. I know where she is. Can you please comment further?
Yeah, of course. There's many parents who say that is one of the key reasons of having their children at home, and they find them in a much more safer environment, and like you say, just under their nose. And we've seen some amazing examples. I recall one parent suggesting and saying that we both parents are working and my child is alone at home. So I said, how does that work? Who's looking after your child? Do you have a helper or an open? He says, no, I've just bought a Wi-Fi video camera and I've placed it in my child's room that's always looking at him in the screen. So at any time I can log in and see what he's doing. So I know if he's watching Netflix or YouTube or whether he's doing his work. And I asked him, is it working for you? He said, it's working fantastic. And my child is learning. So there's one extreme example, but it gives you the idea of the level of control level as a parent that you have. Where unlike other facilities, you don't know what's happening with your child in that particular institution, or you won't know what kind of friends they have, what kind of conversations they have. And many times you'll hear parents say, hey, my child is changing. I don't know where they learn all of these things. But again, it's from their social circles. And when you are mommy at home or daddy at home, and today with many parents working at home and your child is there with you at home, just the sense of a family being together is totally irreplaceable. It's something that is a heartfelt as a parent, where you have your wife and your kids or your husband and your children with you at home, and together everybody's doing their thing and engaged. So there's a sense of togetherness, but all doing your thing that's meant for you to be done, whether you are schooling or working. It's just the way the world is moving, and really it contributes to a very high quality of life, living the best family life possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you now, how are exams generally conducted in an online classroom?
Yeah, exams is an interesting one, Vivesh. And if I look at the exams, I would say it's not yet as authentic as on-site schools, because it's much easier to cheat. And my fear with online assessments and exams, and from a very honest and candid perspective, alhamdulillah, there's been a lot of progress. To the point where many institutes last year have written their matric trial exams online, whereas in years before, it was written on-site. We're talking about the trial exams. And the final exams are written on-site because it's run by the government, by DBE or Sakai or IEB or whoever is the assessing body. But even there, we are part of a group of online institutions, and everybody is making this call that it would not be fair for an on-site learner, someone who goes to a school, is examined on-site all the way, and the final exam you have to tell them to write online. They're not familiar with how the technical tools work. They get a sense of anxiety, and it compromises their ability to perform well in that exam. So just like that, for an online learner who the entire career is assessed online, And then now with the NDFB test on site, it does become a little jarring for the learner. So there are ways to mitigate that. But the actual assessments and exams, the core of the question, all of that is written online, alhamdulillah. So you have your projects and your assignments and your speeches, and some of it can be done even better in terms of speeches and things like that. You can do your presentations. And today you tell a children to bring a chart to school. For them, it's a chore to bring a chart. But tell a child to prepare a presentation, a Canva presentation or a PowerPoint presentation, and put in your videos and your audio. The kids love it. And you see what these children can build. Really, you'll stagger and
fall in
the creative ability these children have, especially using technical tools. And then the formal exams, the same. The formal exams are written online. It's what we call proctored or invigilated. In other words, where the camera is on, there's a human behind the other side or a teacher who's seeing and invigilating, making sure that the kids are not cheating or copying. So they have all of these tools in place to enhance it. Like I say, I don't think it's reached that stage. I think it's about 80% of the way. But remember, somebody made an interesting statement with AI. They said today is the worst AI will ever be. In other words, it's only going to progress.
Sure.
And we already know that AI, what it can do already, it seems so human-like. It's not human, it's just data. But today is the worst it will be. It was only going to get better over time. So, yeah,
that's
like this also great work online learning is going to be. It's just going to improve as we go along.
Inshallah. Okay, the other question that I have for you is, say if a child right now is in an on-site school and, you know, parents decide that, okay, we want to try now, you know, online learning, we may be relocating or for whatever reason, they decide this and the child's pretty keen on it. So now this is again, you know, like if a child moves from one school to another for whatever reason, relocation or whatever, is it like the same process? Like say I'm in an on-site school, I come to an online school and I'm like, oh, here's my report, this is what I did in term one. Is it advisable that a child can just sort of start anytime, or preferably, you know, like the beginning of an academic year is done in an on-site school, bearing in mind that you did say online is flexible? So can you please advise?
So yes, while online is flexible and most institutes will accept learners at almost any time in the year, even in term three or term four. But again, as an educationist...
I have to ask you, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Even in term four?
Even in term four. Well, up till maybe say about grade 8 or grade 9. Grade 10, 11 and 12, naturally, they look at subject choices.
Yes.
But even up until grade 4, many of the institutes will accept learners. And it's part of the flexibility because at the end of the day, you don't want to compromise a child's learning journey. And in a very extenuating circumstance, something happened to a child's parents, somebody passed away, they had to relocate, they can't find a school that will accept them in term three or term four. Most schools will not take you in an on-site school. They need to continue the schooling. It was a bright child or a good child. So this is providing them a facility to say, continue your journey with us. We are not going to compromise you for an unforeseen circumstance in your life. So join with us. But for an ordinary case, we don't encourage it. We say, start your journey ideally at the start of the year and go with it. If it's something extenuating, something happened at the school, there was a bullying incident or something, whatever it is, and you feel like now it's not working, now you want to transition, then yeah, no problem, you could look at it. It's less than the ideal, but it's better than remaining the situation where your child is being compromised, the safety of your child or the mental well-being of your child is being compromised, then yeah, no problem, make the shift. So yeah, the ideal, start of the year, if not, then at any time, no problem.
You know, very important comment that you may raise right now. You know, all of us would know this, that, you know, a child is a product of his or her environment. Whether we like it or not, it's a reality. From the home that you come in, it's a home where there's lots of stability and love and compassion and motivation and Allah consciousness. You can see it in the upbringing of a child. Obviously, if those things are missing, you see it. And when children are learning, in order for them to be productive and take control of their learning, they need to be happy. That mental state of mind needs to be in a good space, and that's very, very important. So that's a plea from me, a former teacher, to all our listeners today, that when you ask your child, if your child, whether your child's in an online school or on site, and you ask your child, how was your day today, what did you do, and your child says nothing, That's when you need to probe and you need to ask more, because it's important. So a happy child learns better. Think about a happy adult. If you are sad and you are feeling miserable and, you know, mentally you are like drained, you're not going to be productive at work. And that's very much so with children, which now brings me up to the next point of conversation, which is very important. So now if you have a child, listeners, if you have a child who is somewhat like me, baby Aisha is a busybody in the sense that I'm a social butterfly. I'm a public speaker. I love speaking. I love engaging with people. I love engaging with adults, with children. I'm sort of like a busybody, so to speak. I'm extroverted. Now you have a child who's a real extrovert, loves public speaking, loves to be making friends, you know, could be a little bit motherly to the younger friends in the classroom. What happens to this child who really thrives on the social aspect of school, and now this child is in an online learning classroom? What happens then?
So that is a particularly challenging conversation. And I mentioned this earlier that although it is becoming mainstream, I don't think it's for every child and every learner. There is that child who is an extrovert that really is bubbly, an energy generator, loves being around people and integrates well with children. In that kind of environment, if you have a situation where you have to go into online learning, and again, that's fine. But ideally, you should look at a social setting where there is physical connection, where your child can interact with other children. And that's what I encourage. In fact, for all learners, even if your child is an introvert, it's always good to develop skills so that you become an ambivert, so that you are able, even if you're an introvert by nature, you can exert yourself in social settings and you are able to assimilate very comfortably. So that's what I encourage all our children to do. So find that place where, like in my case, the madrasa that's there, the children are there, so they have their social friends, they go up. A lot of us, if you ask us when we grew up, we really enjoyed our maktab. We enjoyed the teachers, we enjoyed friends. It was like, wasn't so intense at school, and we just really loved it. We remember the friends and the appas and the molanas. We really enjoyed
that. So that was basically was in your choice of extramurals and extracurricular activities that you're choosing for this extroverted child. I would guess that would definitely make sense. I have to ask you this. Right? Based on my conversations with many parents, right, one of their concerns is, you know, young children. Now, when they say young children in the foundation phase, again, it can go both ways. But, you know, remember, when it comes to online, there's still lots of people that want to learn about it, hence my decision to choose this topic for today, right? But, you know, when we think of our, like when we went to school, like you said, I guess this gap would be filled in with the extramurals, right? But, you know, at school, the sharing lunch sometimes, or, you know, sitting with your friend, and even managing, you know, the whole classroom scenario, like this typical thing now where now there's this whiteboard in front of you as compared to when I was growing up, there was this green chalkboard, right? So it's not so much of a question. It's more like if we think of how times have changed with him. If I have to think, you know, when my parents were probably at school, obviously things were very, very different. When I went to school, things were different. So as we're moving in life, you know, every generation is going to experience something differently as compared to how it was, you know, like I remember when we went to school, we could just walk to school. It wasn't so far away. Later, as time went on, there were parents now dropping their children to school. Maybe it wasn't as close. So, you know, when it comes to change as human beings, I think, you know, we are reluctant at first. And a lot of the reluctance comes from not having enough information, not being able to make an educated decision. But when we have conversations like this on Youth Talk and we're talking about today, you know, we, inshallah, obviously our intention is to share the correct information so parents know there is choices, and even students as well. So I want to ask you something. As a parent now you're speaking to us as a daddy, right? And to speaking to all the other fathers and mothers who are listening in right now. What is your closing message?
I think the closing message my closing message is quite simple. It's just that we need to move with the times because we're building our children for tomorrow's world, not for today's world. Yeah. There was a time when every book was written by hand. And this was in the 1700s, and in the early 1800s, when the printing press came out, many people around the world, even all of the scholars and everyone, said, "No, this cannot be. We cannot have printed textbooks. We need that originality and the creativity of the written books." Today, most books, more than 98% of the books worldwide, are done printed. And then when the online world came, the World Wide Web in the late 1980s, and everybody thought, no, how can we have this here? We need the printing press, and we need the feel of a book in our hand. And that's still true. There's still a beauty to writing with your hand. There's still a beauty to reading a printed paper. But if you want access to information, most of us pull out our phone, we open our browser, and we Google it. That's the way the world has moved. And that's the way the working world is moving. And we want to prepare our children for tomorrow's world, not for the world we're living in. And the world is progressing very fast. Simple message, let's move with the times. Let's get what's best for our children. And truly, you'll feel the quality of life. You will feel the best life that you can possibly love, the best family life that you could have. And it's a good way to go ahead forward as a father.
Alhamdulillah. And I'm going to ask you one last question before I let you go. The importance, and you know, you've said this several times in our conversation today, which I'm very glad that you've brought up so many times, that there is that flexibility of time where the family unit has time to communicate and do things together. And right now, let's be honest, in the time that we are living in right now, that is something that we have to strive to ensure is always there. Coming together, you know, eating meals together, preparing meals together, doing household chores together, having these opportunities where a family is connected, where a child knows I can approach my parents at any time and we can talk openly about what's going on. Because right now, more than ever, that home base needs to be that safe haven for everybody, for parents as well as children. So I'm going to ask you now for your closing message with regards to the importance of communication between parents and children and how we need that home, strong home family structure, inshallah, as a safety haven for everybody in the family. Please go ahead.
Wow, Vivesha, what an important point, and I think you would actually do a whole show on this here. I cannot overemphasize. Yeah, and I cannot strongly state enough how important it is that as a family we need to communicate. Many of us growing up did not have that, I wouldn't say the ability, but just the circumstance to communicate. And sometimes we grew up with those insecurities. We didn't know who to speak to, and we just grew up with it. And it manifests in different ways in our life. As a family, as parents, as children, I strongly encourage, please sit down, talk with your children. And if you want your conversations to be guided, not if you want, I'm saying make this a must. Guide your conversations through the Quran. Talk about Allah with your family on the eating table. Open up to one another. It's okay to be vulnerable. Remember, this is the only space. It's not just a roof over your head. You need to provide that emotional roof over your children's head that they are safe. This is my parents that I can talk to. They can confide in one another. No matter what it is that they want to speak, be there for your children, because we're living in a time that if they're going to reach out online or they're going to reach out to someone else, it's a very high probability they're going to get the wrong advice, and that's going to alter their life in the wrong direction. Let's be there for our kids, inshallah, and Allah guide us all.
Ameen, ameen, Allahumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakallah khairan so much for your time and for honoring my invitation to be a guest on Youth Talk. Inshallah, we will be on the platform, on this platform again, inshallah, Brother Wasim. Allah reward you, Allah accept from you, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan so much for coming on air with us today. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My beloved listeners, as you've heard Brother Wasim say, as you hear I say all the time, children learn more from what we do rather than what we say. And what example are we setting for them? When it comes to education, we have to ask ourselves as well, what is my child learning? How is this going to create a good human being? How is my child getting those morals and values and an attitude of knowing that I need to be grateful, alhamdulillah, for the ni'mah that I have? When we think of choosing schools for our children, think to yourself as well, show your children the visuals of Gaza. Let us not shy away from there. Like I said, children like them in Gaza, they don't have schools. They want to learn. What are they doing? What we take for granted, others are praying for. Whether it's an online school, whether it's an on-site school, let us remind our children and our youth, make shukr for what you have. What we take for granted, others are crying for. Others are crying for. Shukr, alhamdulillah, our youth How often have you thanked your parents? How often have you thanked your family members? How often have you thanked your teachers for what they do for you, whether it's online, on-site? Because alhamdulillah, you are so blessed that you have this opportunity to learn about the world, to learn about history, to learn how to be a better human being. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you, our beloved youth, inshallah, remain steadfast in your deen. We make the dua for us as well, that you are going to be the leaders of tomorrow. Are you going to be that type of leader that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with it, will lead people with honor and dignity? And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Is Allah going to be pleased with me? And that's ultimately what we need to ask ourselves. My beloved listeners, inshallah, please remember us in your du'as, as you are always in our du'as. Inshallah, until we speak again next week, Saturday, on Youth Talk, have a pleasant week, inshallah. Remember, never underestimate the power of du'a. And to our youth, you are our future. Educate, empower, motivate, and inspire yourselves to be first and foremost the best, inshallah, in the sense that will Allah be pleased with me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your du'as, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.